Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Vision Renewal, Stronger Community. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Solomon tells us that whoever conceals their transgressions will not prosper, but those who confess and forsake them will obtain mercy. Let us confess our sins to God, saying, Almighty God, we confess how hard it is to be your people. You have called us to be the church, to continue the mission of Jesus Christ to our lonely and confused world. Yet we acknowledge we can be more apathetic than active, isolated than involved, callous than compassionate, obstinate than obedient, legalistic than loving. Gracious Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive our sins. Remove the obstacles which prevent us from being your representatives to a broken world. Awaken our hearts to the promised gift of your indwelling spirit. These and all things we pray in, through, and for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we now silently pray. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives all our sins, strengthen us in goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Please join me in reading the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. Through the congregation, God's people carry out the ministries of proclamation, sharing the sacraments, and living in covenant life with God and each other. In the life of the congregation, individual believers are equipped for the ministry of witness to the love and grace of God in and for the world. The congregation reaches out to people, communities, and the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to gather people for worship, to offer care and nurture to God's children, to speak for social justice and righteousness, to bear witness to the truth and to the reign of God that is coming into the world. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is taken from the second chapter of Acts. This text really should be read 2 weeks out. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So this story is actually coming at the end of the Pentecost story, but I think you'll see why it fits today and will make sense as we celebrate Pentecost next Sunday. Just another sidebar comment. I was not familiar with the hymn we just sang. Beautiful. The text is beautiful. And I thought, oh, this must have been written at a very current time. I looked, it was written in the 8th century. The 8th century, talking about the unity in Christ and that desire to be joined together in Christ. I find that beautiful and fascinating. Acts chapter 2, picking up at the 42nd verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Amen. If you've been with us during these past couple of weeks, we've been revisiting our vision renewal statement written in 2016, which was created in response to the question, do we still agree with the decisions made in the Metropolitan Community Program Report written in 1966, which influenced our decisions to stay here in place on the corner of 34th and Central? After a year of study and conversations, we did reaffirm those commitments and laid out three visions for TAB: greater faith, deeper relationships, and this morning we'll talk about a stronger community. To that end, let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to be your people in this time and place. We would pray now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts, the reflections, what we will carry with us from this day, might bring honor and glory to you in our words, our thoughts, and our actions. This we pray together in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord, to his honor and glory. Amen. This past summer, Chris and I attended the wedding of the son of some good friends of ours in the Amana colonies in Iowa. And other than the fact that we both got COVID at the reception, it was a wonderful time. We had not been to the Amana for years and so enjoyed our visit that we extended it for a couple of days or so. So I was looking for something to read, and I found a visitor's guide which explained their 308-year history. Now, if you're not familiar, I found it fascinating. In the early 1700s, there was a religious awakening in Germany. Two men, a Lutheran clergyman and a harness maker, became friends and shared a strong belief that a prayerful, meditative relationship with the Lord would lead to a godly life. So, advocating for humility and piety expressed in very simple worship, they believed that God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, would communicate to the faithful through faithful individuals, much as did the prophets of the Old Testament. So they began meeting in small groups to worship and to pray, and soon their numbers began to grow. They called themselves inspirationists, believing that God was inspiring those who would speak to them and how they would hear those messages. It wasn't long before their views and their practices were considered to be radical by those in the more established religious traditions, and so that led then to persecution and that to displacement, beginning in Germany, eventually coming in the 19th century to the United States, to New York, and then to their establishing the Amana colonies, five colonies in Iowa. Amana meaning remain true. Their story intrigued me because the inspirationists established a communal way of living. They owned the mills and the shops and the farmlands in common, and all of the needs were provided by the community. Day by day, it revolved itself around worship and home and work and school. All the meals were prepared at neighborhood kitchens, 50 of them throughout the five Amana colonies, for all of the people there. And everything from soap to stove wood was provided by the community for its residents. And this way of life continued until 1932, when economic pressures forced some changes in the community and the way they did their work. However, if you were to visit the Amana colonies today, there is still a sense of communal life and well-being. As I read that history, it reminded me so much of the way Luke describes the early church in Acts chapter 2. Shared faith, shared life, shared possessions as any had need. In fact, this may be the real miracle of Pentecost, not just that the apostles were speaking in tongues or in foreign languages or performing miracles or signs or wonders, but that diverse people learned how to live together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Those first believers established a new way of doing life together. And that difference became evident to those around us, such as we read, and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I can't help but think that those inspirationists who founded the Amana colonies were inspired by that vision of the early church, which makes me wonder, what of us? What of the church today? What can we learn from them? Now, I'm not advocating that we all move in together. I'm not advocating for communal living. But listen again to the third leg of our vision renewal statement as it speaks of a stronger community. I quote, TAB will work in partnership with its neighbors to strengthen the Mapleton Fall Creek community, advocate for justice, and promote God's shalom for all people. TAB will be a congregation that partners with its Mapleton Fall Creek neighbors to meet the physical and spiritual needs of the community outside its doors, working to equip people to overcome obstacles, collaborating with individuals and organizations to advocate for justice, and recognizing that our faith and obedience will be judged by the way we walk with those in need. End quote. So added to our desire for greater faith and of deeper relationships, this is our vision of a stronger community for the welfare and well-being of our neighbors, not just ourselves. Why? Because of our desire for deeper relationships, which are born of our desire for greater faith. That is, once we get to know our neighbors and come to understand their needs, as well as their assets and talents, it's hard to just smile and wave as we walk past them, or rather drive past them. Suddenly, their needs become our needs. Their desires become our desires for a stronger, better, healthier community. Now, this idea was not original to us. In our Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah made the radical suggestion that the people who had been carried off into exile in Babylonia, this after the Babylonians had wiped out their nation, wiped out the city of Jerusalem, wiped out the temple, Jeremiah the prophet told them that they should pray and work for the welfare of the city, not of Jerusalem, but of Babylon. The word welfare in the Hebrew is shalom. Robert Lupton describes it as being the prevailing presence of peace and goodness in the relationship of God's diverse family. Shalom is a sense of total well-being, of security, of health in all aspects of life. And interestingly enough, then Jeremiah ends that part of the teaching by saying, "For in their welfare is your welfare as well." What is good for them is good for us, and what is good for us is good for them. And suddenly we start thinking, wait, maybe there isn't an us and them here when it comes to a desire for shalom. This idea of communal well-being set John Calvin in Geneva and other reformers of the time elsewhere apart because they demonstrated an interest in people's physical well-being, not just their spiritual well-being. So they set out to establish standards for clean water, sanitation systems. They advocated for a sense of justice and righteousness in the court systems, for improved schools. They encouraged their people to run for civic office in order to establish these practices. The desire for stronger communities then is hardwired into what it means to be a Presbyterian, caring for physical as well as spiritual needs, caring for the needs of communities as well as individual needs. And that same is hardwired into what it means to be a part of TAB. This idea of a stronger community didn't originate with us in 2016. It's been part of us from the start. And the stories are some of my favorite TAB stories to tell. And I love to tell TAB stories. Recall why 100 years ago we moved to 34th and Central from 11th and Meridian? It was because there were no churches offering Christian education to the children of Mapleton Fall Creek. And so we built a small education building here on this corner, and the day it opened, we had 100 children in our program. By the end of the year, we had 1,000 children, and it continued to grow from there. So much so that we decided that we needed to move our entire church programming to this corner. Here we built this magnificent facility and structure in order to help meet the needs of the children and the families of this community, to help make it a stronger community. That was 1923. By 1924, with a donation of $50, we started the TAB Recreation Program because a group of the neighborhood children needed a place to play. We kept finding them in the coal bin here at TAB. That program will turn 100 years old next year, and it's become the model for church programs across the country. Any who have sports and recreation, not as an add-on to their programming, but as an integral part of their programming. Today, approximately 1,500 kids are playing some kind of sport at TAB. In fact, this week alone, we are hosting 58 soccer games. Most of them were held yesterday. We believe that physical health and spiritual health are integral to help forming a stronger community. On Palm Sunday, 1992, our pastor, Frank Kick, stood in this pulpit and preached a sermon with his vision for a stronger community. I wonder how many of you were here that day. In that message, he pointed out our front doors right across the street and said, there is a building abandoned across the street that we should purchase and do something for the health care of our neighbors. After church, as the story is told that day, a woman handed him a check for $80,000 and said, make that happen. And so six doctors from TAB committed together to starting a health clinic two Saturday mornings a month, which then grew to be the Raphael Health Center. At that same time, a group of TAB attorneys said, well, we want to do something to help with the myriad of legal needs in our neighborhood. And so they organized what is now the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic. It wasn't too many years after that that another vision was cast to create a school which offered classic Christian education, committed to diverse student population, socially, racially, economically. And so in partnership with others, we started the Oaks Academy, which now has expanded to three campuses, pre-K through middle school. There are so many stories similar to these which I love to tell and, believe me, need to be told. Not to brag in any way on us, but to demonstrate, and I believe to continue to remind ourselves of the long-held commitment we have made to a stronger community. But what I love most about these particular stories is, first, each of these ministries was birthed here, but then launched out as separate 501c3s, separate not-for-profits. If every one of those had remained a part of a committee of TAB, a committee of our session, never would have grown to the extent of influence or impact that they have. Secondly, each of those organizations was founded during a time in TAB's history which most of us would describe as being difficult. The idea for these ministries didn't germinate in the soils of ease and comfort, but in the days of uncertainty and struggle. And God has blessed those ministries. And there are so many others that we could speak of, birthed here, which could be and should be and will be mentioned, whether today or in days to come, all committed to a stronger community. TAB Tutoring, the Open Door Cafe, the Community Care Program, Fresh Stop. And we have our fingerprints on more ministries than I think I'm even aware of in this neighborhood, the Mapleton Fall Creek CDC, the Unleavened Bread Cafe, the Indie Grace Place, and the list goes on and on. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of these reflect the communal way of life, which is spoken of in Acts 2, or the Amana colonies, but I do believe that we share a common vision, a desire cast by Jeremiah to pray for and work for the welfare and shalom of the city. When in our conversations back in 2015 and 16, we ask people, what is TAB's greatest opportunity for impact? We almost unanimously heard that our greatest opportunity sits right outside our doors in this neighborhood, and we know that those needs are great. I will confess to you that one of the perhaps many reasons I have not led us into some of the deep and troubling political and denominational issues which have encircled us during the past 15 years is because I have been far more concerned with these deep and troubling needs that are right outside our doors and from here emanating to our city, our nation, and our world. These are struggles I have chosen to help lead us to engage in, and these needs continue to persist. I'll close with quoting again the vision renewal statement. This section of the statement is so well written. It reads, quote, TAB's legacy of service to the community is strong and respected. This vision calls TAB not to bask in that legacy, but rather to expand it, build on it, and leverage it so that we can be a partner in efforts to develop ourselves, our neighbors, and our community. So we cast a vision of engaged advocacy and action on behalf of service and justice, that we may serve as an organizational example of servant leadership, acting as a convener and a catalyst for the flourishing of the community and God's people, serving as a nucleus and nexus that draws people in so that we might be inspired, energized, and sent out for the work of the kingdom. End quote. Put that another way, I think we have a desire, a vision perhaps, that when there is a need in our community that people would think of TAB as those who would not have all the answers, but who would listen carefully to the concern, who perhaps would lend resources as able and would help to advocate and encourage for the changes that need to be made in our community, believing that our neighbors' needs are our needs, that their desire for shalom is our desire for shalom, that in their welfare is our welfare as well. Friends, there is still much work that needs to be done, And I believe that we are the ones called to do it out of our desire for greater faith and deeper relationships and a stronger community. That is who we are, past and present. And I pray it will be who we are as we move into the future. And about that, we'll talk more next week. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, you have blessed us, not for our own well-being alone, but in order that we might be a blessing to you and to those around us. That call to Abraham applies to us as well as it has to God's people in every time and place since. So we would pray, O Lord, for these desires of our heart as they may please you. Greater faith, deeper relationships, a stronger community. To your honor and glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.